McDermott and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Dermot and Dave's Mind Yourself Now.
Mind Yourself Now.
Mind Yourself Now.
Mind Yourself Now.
We're minding ourselves, and we're getting one of the country's most famous experts in to help us today. As annoying as it is, exercise is important, but for Mind Yourself Now today, we're asking our expert, he'll know from shows like Operation Transformation, Professor Niall Moyna from DCU. We're asking him, what's the least amount of exercise we have to do to stay healthy?
Everyone's looking at me, Niall. They're going, Dave, why did you organise this conversation with Niall Moyna?
Well, it's the question that everyone wants answered. How can I get most bang for my buck doing
exactly.
the least effort? That's the bottom line here.
Yeah, well, I know you've developed your own test, and we can get to some of those exercises in a minute, but do you think that some people just think that the whole exercise thing is too overwhelming? But actually, if we aimed a bit lower, we could actually have a little bit more success in feeling healthier and being healthier.
Interesting question. Believe it or not, that exercise is alien to us as humans. We never exercised for millions of years.
Right.
Can you imagine a hunter-gatherer going out? On average, they walk around 13 kilometres a day, the men. The women around 9 to 10. Can you imagine them coming home from doing that and saying, I've got to put on my runners and go to the gym and lift some weights here?
Well, that's funny. I was watching a documentary where, I can't remember who was leading the documentary, but they spent time with one of these hunter-gatherer tribes. It was like one of the last hunter-gatherer tribes on Earth. And exactly that. So they got up every morning, they ran to get the, you know, hunting, and then they came back. And when the guy in the documentary suggested, oh, you know, we go running, you know, for fun, and they were just bewildered to go, why would you do that? We just want to rest.
And they spend most of the day resting. And so that leads to the next question is, what is exercise? And you have to take one step back from that. It's actually physical activity is what we should be advocating.
Right.
And physical activity is basically any body movement other than sitting and lying. So if you're standing, walking, jogging, no matter what you're doing, if you're not sitting and you're not lying, you're physically active. And that's what hunter-gatherers did for years. They were all the time moving, they were hunting, they were getting berries and crops, etc., etc. And it's only probably since the Industrial Revolution that we had more free time.
And we started concentrating on surviving.
Yeah, and we started doing more sedentary activities. We started working in offices. Then all of a sudden, we weren't getting the daily physical. Even within a generation in Ireland, you think of back baling hay or saving the hay. You're out with a fork when you're putting the hay into haystacks.
Putting the turf.
Yeah, that's only within a generation. So exercise, that's why so people don't like exercising. They don't mind being physically active, walking somewhere or going to the store. But you mentioned the word exercise, and I think the other problem with it, compared to physical activity though, exercise is discretionary physical activity, and it's done with a purposeful intent to improve your health or your fitness. So they're two totally different constructs. The message we need to be getting across is being physically active,
whatever that looks like.
Rather than sitting or standing. It doesn't make any difference at what intensity, whether it's standing all day, whether it's just walking, ambulating around the office or the house, being physically active, because that will increase your energy. Just standing up increases your energy expenditure more than any medication or any ergogenic aid or any supplement will ever do.
Yeah.
If people just realise that.
Just get up out of the chair.
Yeah. Dermot and I both wear these Whoop fitness trackers, right? Fitness wearables. And mine is a bit like my Netflix. You know the way Netflix sometimes goes, hey, you still there? My Whoop sometimes says that to me and go, you still alive? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just really chilled out today. You know?
You've had a great sleep. You're like, oh, I was at work for the last 8 hours.
So say like, yesterday I was down with my kids who were in Athlone for the weekend, and I donned a wetsuit, hopped into a lake.
None of us can believe this, by
quickly
the way.
Got cold water shock and choked for 2 or 3 minutes while trying to convince my family it was fine to jump in. But like, now my Whoop is like, oh my God, like, you did stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I did stuff, and I'm never doing it again.
But you also don't know now which exercise or which sort of fairly innocuous form of movement, like you say, is actually going to be helpful. I have the same fitness tracker, and I played 4 hours of golf yesterday on a Wild Links course, and I was quite tired after it. I came home and I did 20 minutes of hoovering. My fitness tracker told me that the 20 minutes of hoovering actually maxed out my heart rate and was more strain on my body than the 4 hours of golf. So you just don't know.
I'd be looking for a rebate on your tracker.
But what Durham mentioned, these tests that everyone listening now can do to try and assess, I suppose, where they are in terms of what they need to do. What kind of tests do you have?
Well, we need to step back one step.
Okay.
And when you say fit, fit for what?
Mm.
There's a big difference in being fit to be an athlete, to run a marathon or to go in the Olympic Games or to play a team sports. That's called sports-related fitness. Mm. What we're talking about here is health-related fitness.
Okay.
And these are components that are related to your ability to perform activities of daily living, and they reduce your risk for future disease. So there are four health-related fitness components. They are cardiovascular fitness, that's your heart and your lungs and your muscles. There's muscle strength and endurance, which is very much underappreciated other than the gym goers, and is probably as important as cardiovascular fitness. The third then is ideal body composition. So muscle mass to fat ratio. So that's a big issue in modern society. And then the final one, again, very much underappreciated, is flexibility and balance.
Mm.
Now, they're all interlinked, because as we age, something called proprioception, we know where we are in time and space, but as we get older, we actually lose that. So it's a bit like when we were doing Operation Transformation last year and we were testing the participants, and we give them a trial for this balance. And the first person, they lasted about less than a millisecond and the foot hit the floor again. Then after one or two tries, they got to 3, 4, 5 seconds. But the point I made that day was, when you're walking down the street, you slip on the sidewalk and you fall on your backside, you can't say, oh, can I go back and try that again?
Yeah.
You get one opportunity and it's a major, major risk for falls.
So is balance and flexibility, rather than that being some kind of, you know, yoga flexibility that you need to do this move or that move, it is really, as you get older, you actually improve your chances of, all jokes aside, staying upright and not having a tumble, because you're more flexible, you're more aware of where you are, and your balance is better.
Correct. And plus, if you maintain muscle mass, is one of the things in modern society, because if you look at the current recommendations from the HSC, so that all adults should get around 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity every day, or at least 5 days. That's brisk walking. But in addition to that, the new guidelines state that we need to get at least 2 days a week of resistance training.
Mm.
And that's training to maintain muscle mass. Now think about it. If you're over the age of 30, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you're on the down curve.
Mm.
If you start lifting weights at a very young age, you can probably maintain your peak muscle up to the age of 50, actually. So there are many 50-year-olds with far more muscle than 20-year-olds who are not lifting weights. But after the age of 50, 30, 50, we start to see this drop. Now, women don't attain the same level of muscle, so they start to drop from a much lower level.
Mm.
So the likelihood is they can reach what we call a frailty threshold, where they lose their independence much earlier than men. So for women, it is so important that they maintain muscle mass. But a big issue in this country is that a lot of young girls don't have the self-efficacy to walk into a gym and to do their own program. They just feel uncomfortable doing that. And that's a question as a society we really have to ask ourselves. How is our young girls and boys, for that matter, leaving secondary school and not having the competency or having the wherewithal and the confidence to walk into a gym and just to do a simple resistance program? Because it can have an enormously impactful effect on their overall health as they go through life.
Well, there was no standardised official test in Ireland for fitness, so you developed your own. And you've divided that into five simple components. So waistline measurement, a balance test, lower body strength, upper body strength test, and aerobic endurance. So they're your five pillars, as it were.
Yeah, no, first of all, I wouldn't be smart enough now to come up with something so original. So, of course, I stole other people's work. Basically, what we're doing is we're assessing those four health-related fitness components.
Mm.
We're assessing balance, strength, endurance, and body composition by the waist up. That's exactly what we're doing. And what I would like to see, we tried to do it initially the first year in Operation Transformation, is that maybe if there was an app developed and that everyone in the country started doing this and they downloaded their data into an app, and then all of a sudden we have standardised norms for the Irish population, because a 70-year-old female would be different to a 50-year-old male. So it isn't a one size fits all, but they're the four basic fitness components. And I also wanted to develop a test that anyone could do at home. You don't have to walk into a gym. These are simple tests. You know, a good example, again, coming back to muscle mass, when you get up off the chair now, do you use your hands to get up off the chair?
No, I'll stunt roll off it.
Like, I will definitely, yes, yeah, I'll definitely use my hands.
Why do you do that? Because you've lost strength in your muscle, in your leg. You're not getting up because you've lost the ability.
Right, so to get up out of a chair and not use your hands would be a good exercise.
Yeah, when you're tying the lace of your shoe, do you bring the shoe up to the chair or do you go down to the floor?
No, I have to get a family member to help me.
These are small.
Right, you wear slippers full time now.
Walking down the stairs, do you hold on to the handrail? These are all small signs that we're losing muscle, and you're compensating unknowing to yourself.
So the chair is an interesting one. Is that part of a test or part of an exercise you can do?
So one of the four tests that we have to assess your muscle strength is just to cross your arms, cross your shoulders, and with
like Dracula in the coffin.
Yeah, that's it. And just step up a chair and see how many you can do in 30 seconds. And then there are standard. There are certain minimums that whether you're a male or a female.
Just in one, very confidently.
That was a lot.
The balance one, Niall, is very interesting because it's one that people would consider to be very easy. But so you stand up, you cross your arms across your chest like we just did there, and then you raise one leg in the air
with your eye, and then you close your eyes.
And then you close your eyes. Now that's the moment where it all goes.
That's because the proprioception.
This is perfectly easy. Then you close your eyes, and suddenly your ankle is having a freak out because it's like, whoa, whoa, which way? So you realize how many cues you pick up on when your eyes are open in terms of just giving you a where in the universe you are.
I famously, as Dermot will say, because I constantly tell the story, broke my leg in 2010 and had to go back to rehab, a dislocated ankle, all that kind of stuff. But the number one exercise the physio gave me was exactly that, standing with your arms over your chest, your eyes closed, and standing on a towel, because your foot would grip it the way your hand would, and that would just strengthen the ankle and the muscles and everything all the time. But that, keeping that balance on a towel with your eyes closed and your little toes gripping like a finger.
Well, try it now if you're listening and obviously not driving, or if you're somewhere safe and you can stand on one leg, arms across the chest, close your eyes.
You'll
think that you've got good balance until you close your eyes, and then you start to flop all over the place.
And now the point of this then, as we said, is like we said earlier on, the point of this is as we get older, having a better balance can help protect us from injury in later years.
And it's the same with all the components of fitness, is you want a reserve. Mm. So there's a minimum fitness we need to be able to perform activities of daily living, going to the bathroom, walking up and downstairs. And we have a huge, very, very early in life, there's a huge reserve. But as we lose our strength and our fitness and our flexibility, that reserve gets smaller. And
smaller,
then all
yeah.
of a sudden, one day you say, God, I can't walk up the stairs, and you don't use a walking stick. And this happens to very many people. And it's happening younger because people now are developing chronic diseases. We're becoming more inactive. It's part of the industrialization of the world. You know, we've engineered physical activity out of our lives for the most part. And that's why, going back to the beginning, that's why we have to put this exercise in now. Mm. We've got to put this discretionary activity into our day because it's so important for our health.
They've even done studies on just general photos that were taken on beaches in the 70s. And if you compare them to photos taken on beaches now, you can see that the increase in obesity, and that's, you know, primarily due to that lack of movement, and also, you know, eat fast food and everything else that we've got so comfortable with.
I witnessed that firsthand. I lived in America for quite a period of time. When I came back to live in Ireland again, I remember the first time I went to the continent, I noticed it. But not the younger generation, but the men and women in their maybe 50s, 60s and 70s. You just didn't see that level of overweight in the 70s when I first started going to the continent. So yeah, that's so true. We'll walk through an airport in America, you know, you'll certainly see the continent.
Well, I just maintain I was born maybe 100, 150 years too young. So that if I'm born in the future, I'd be born, like, come out, like, then get, like, transferred, my consciousness transferred into the body of an Adonis. And then I would just sit there in some kind of, I don't know, soup, a vat of gloop as a consciousness. But I'd be out walking around, like, looking amazing on the beach, lads. That is all about.
Where can people find your standardised test, Niall?
Well, we did it last year with Operation Transformation, so it was on the RTE site. Yeah. I'm not too sure if it's still there, but we are going to do it again next year. We're going to put a really big push. And it's important that people can see the change. I mean, one of the biggest disappointments for me was that I don't think any female in the last 2 years was able to do one normal push-up. Not one. They had to do it on their knees, which means they're losing their upper body strength. And the body is extremely adaptable. Our muscles, even at the age of 100, we can increase our muscle strength. It's amazing. It's an extremely adaptable organ, and our heart and our lungs. And I want people to be able to see how quickly they can see improvements. And a very important message is that the people who get most bang for their buck, believe it or not, are the people who are the least active right now. If they do they get phenomenal improvements compared to someone who's already physically active. They're not going to get anywhere near the same benefits that they increased their activity the same amount.
Yeah.
Right.
Really interesting. Professor Niall Moyna, Professor of Clinical Exercise Physiology in the School of Health and Human Performance at Dublin City University and, of course, star of Operation Transformation. Thanks for doing Mind Yourself Now with us today.
Thank you.
Dermot and Dave on Today FM.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.